Psalm 28. I'm taking the title, Psalm 28, from verse 7. I'm taking the title from the words found here in verse 7. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is everything to the believer. Christ is all and in all. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him we are complete. The Lord is. The Lord has always been, from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord is. He is my strength. He's the strength of our redemption, the strength of our salvation. He's my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, because every spiritual blessing God has for His church is in Him. It is a wise, right thing to trust Him. And I like what it says in Psalm 62. When are we to trust Him? All the time. Trust Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. My heart trusted, and I'm trusting in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, the song of my heart, I'll praise Him. I'll praise Him. So the title that I've chosen is, I Trust in the Lord and I Am Helped. I trust in the Lord and I am helped. I'm benefited. What a blessing to be given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust Him and I'm helped. I'm blessed in Him. I think of the wise man Solomon in Proverbs. Don't turn, but I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy heart. So trust in Him at all times, you people. The Lord is my strength and my shield. He's my song. I trust Him, and I'm helped. I'm helped. I'm blessed by trusting Him. Now, truly, those who are led by His grace to trust Him and believe the Lord Jesus Christ are those who have been mightily blessed and helped of Him. For the Scripture says, you remember in John 15, He said, without me, He said, you can do what? Nothing. It's impossible to trust the Lord without the Lord enabling us to do so. We are what we are by His mighty sovereign grace. All that we are, all that we know, all that we have, all that we ever will be is by His grace and His grace alone. You remember the Apostle Paul said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Grace is never in vain. Grace is always effectual. But I labored, he said, more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. The grace of God. Excuse me, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God is never in vain. I'm blessed in Him. Excuse me. Now look at verse 1 and 2 for unto thee will I cry. How many times have we seen this in the Psalms? David said, I cry unto the Lord. And that's the cry of faith. That's the cry of faith in praying unto the Lord. Unto thee will I cry. Now, where else can we go to have our prayers answered? But unto the Lord. Unto thee will I cry. O Lord, you're my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. All the Lord has to do for us to perish in our sin is just leave us to ourselves. We love darkness rather than the light. We drink iniquity like the water. If the Lord is silent to us, If he just simply takes his hand off of us and leaves us to our own devices, the pit is our certain place of eternal ruin. Verse 2, hear the voice of my supplication. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hand toward thy holy oracle or toward thy tabernacle. And I like the immediate answer he receives in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication, the voice of my crying unto the Lord. You know, true, sincere heart prayer doesn't need to be uttered verbally. It's the cry of the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. Prayer is the heart cry unto the Lord. And it doesn't have to be verbal. Just in your heart. Isn't that the way we pray? I know when we come here, we pray publicly. But when I'm just myself here studying, I don't audibly speak things to the Lord, but I cry in my heart. I unbear my heart unto the Lord and take my burden to the Lord. Twice in these two verses, verse 1 and 2, David said, unto thee will I cry. And then he says, I cry when I cry unto thee. When I cry, I will cry, and when I cry unto thee. A cry here is an expression of sorrow and distress, and it's a call for help. Notice to whom we direct our cries and our prayers and our pleas are unto the Lord. Are unto the Lord. I noticed, I don't normally do this, I used to all the time. Monday night football. That was a big thing with me. I made my fiance promise me that on Monday night when we got married that she would watch Monday night football with me, and that lasted for a while. But I was watching that football game Monday night when that player had that collision, and it looked like a routine play to me, but he stood up and fell backwards flat on his back, cardiac arrest. And I noticed what those players did. They were crying to the Lord. Now, I don't know how sincere they were, but they were crying for help, weren't they? I mean, they were totally helpless, and they knew it. Where else can we go in a time of need? Well, they were praying for their dear friend and teammate. And both teams, they prayed. They prayed. They cried. They cried unto the Lord. I hope that was in sincerity and truth. But the point I'm making is they had nowhere else to go. They couldn't appeal to anybody else but to God Almighty to have mercy on that young 24-year-old boy. And notice he says, unto, I cry unto the Lord, he's my rock. He's my rock. We're told in Scripture to let our requests be made known unto God. Unto the Lord our rock. He alone is immutable, immovable, and the solid foundation of all our hope and our help. As I said earlier, 24 times in the book of Psalms, we read about the Lord is described as our rock. Now, we're not going to look at all 24 of them, but turn back a couple pages to Psalm 18. Turn over there to Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. Boy, that's everything, isn't it? In whom I'll trust, my buckler, my shield, my horn, my salvation, my high tower. Boy, he's everything. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He's my rock. And then turn back to your bookmark and just across the page in Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And then in Psalm 61, it talks about the rock. In Psalm 62, thou only art my rock and my refuge. My hope is in him. And he's talking about here the foundation of faith, the foundation that God has laid in Zion. And we know that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the tried stone, the precious cornerstone. I like what the Lord says in Deuteronomy 32. The Lord is the rock and his work is perfect. And then he makes this statement. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock, capital R, had sold them or promoted them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock, small R, is not as our rock, large R. They had a rock, talking about the enemies of God. They had the rock of their flesh, the rock of their armies. He said, their rock's not like our rock, capital R, even our enemies themselves being judges. We read a moment ago in Matthew 16, the Lord said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell. We've seen that in the Revelation. We read about and studied about the end of Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. They all end up, where do they end up? In the pit. In the pit. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now notice, particularly in verse 2 now, he said, when I cry unto thee, I'll lift up my hands toward thy holy temple or oracle or tabernacle. Now in David's day, the temple wasn't constructed yet. They still had the tabernacle. Solomon is the one, David's son, who built the temple. We've studied that, haven't we? But he says, in the holy oracle, that is, upon that mercy seat, in the holy of holies, upon that mercy seat where the blood was put on that mercy seat before the Lord, covering the law of God, covering our sin. And that is type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying here, in essence, when he's looking toward the mercy seat, he's saying, I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, my sacrifice for my sin. Even David, all those Old Testament believers, their hope was in the same person that our hope is in, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I cry, I lift up my hands, or I look toward that sacrifice, that coming Christ of God, who is called Christ our mercy seat. Christ our mercy seat. Christ our mercy seat. The Holy of Holies, or the holy place, or the tabernacle, the whole tabernacle was a type of Christ, where atonement was made upon the mercy seat. If we would gain access unto God, who is the absolute holy God, we must come through the mediator that's been provided, and we know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mercy seat. He is our atonement for sin. I was thinking about this today when I was praying and crying unto the Lord. I was thinking about where he says there is one God and one mediator between God and men. That is the man Christ Jesus. So he is our mediator. Lord, thank you for that mediator. And then he's called the intercessor. He intercedes for us. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. And then he's called our advocate. Our advocate. You remember 1 John? What is that? Chapter 2? When you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a mediator. We have an intercessor. We have an advocate. And all those things and all the fulfillment of those offices are all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is still yet our mediator. He is still yet our intercessor. He is still yet our advocate for sin, isn't he? We lift up our empty hands as mercy beggars unto him who is able to supply our every need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only that which God has provided. You remember his name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Genesis 22. When Isaac asked Abraham when they went to worship upon Mount Moriah, where is the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. He provided himself as the lamb. Only that which God provides will God accept. Christ is everything in our salvation. Now our cry, as David says here, Lord, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone. Don't be silent to me, lest I end up in a pit of eternal destruction. Now, thinking of this psalm came to my mind as I was reading back over this. Turn to Psalm 40, about the pit. In the book of Job 33, when the young preacher Elihu came on the scene and rebuked Job and his three friends, he said, deliver them from going down to the pit, for I have found a ransom. And he says here in Psalm 40, look at verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. There's that rock again. And established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear shall trust the Lord. So he brought me up, he set me up, he tuned me up, and made me to praise the Lord. He brought us up out of that horrible pit. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Because the pit is where we will end up. If the Lord would simply leave us to ourselves, we should certainly perish under his just holiness. For we are not deserving of the least of his mercies, but rather, what have we earned? What do we deserve? We don't deserve mercy, do we? Wages of sin is death. I like what Jacob said when he was going to meet his brother Esau, and he feared that his brother was going to kill him. Remember, Jacob stole that birthright away from his older brother, and he cried unto the Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies, but Lord, would you deliver me right now? I need help. I'm not worthy of it, but Lord, I need your help. When Jacob met Esau, it was a good meeting. It was a good meeting. We thank the Lord that there is mercy with him. He delights to show mercy. We gladly take our place before the Lord as mercy beggars. As mercy beggars. The Lord has never, now think about this. That's why David said with confidence down here in verse 6, I cried unto the Lord, blessed be the Lord. He hath heard the voice of my supplications. Because he approached the Lord as a mercy beggar in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was confident that God would hear his prayer. Thank God there is mercy with the Lord. He delights to show it. We take our place before him as mercy beggars. The Lord has never turned away. I've never read one time where the Lord has turned away a mercy beggar. Not one time. Blind Bartimaeus, Lord have mercy upon me. The woman with the issue of blood, Lord have mercy upon me. Everyone who approached him in their need and called out for mercy, the Lord showed mercy. The publican in the temple, what did he cry? I know what the Pharisee said. Pharisee bragged on himself and was condemned. He went to the pit. But the publican cried out for mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you know what the Lord says about that man? He went down to his house justified rather than the other. With the Lord there is mercy. Plenteous. He delights to show mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. That's why he says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, Let's look at verse 3, 4, and 5. Here's what we all deserve and what we are. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity. Here's what we are. We're wicked. We are workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. But mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, according to their wickedness, the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they hate God. They hate God. That's what it says in verse 5. Because they regard not the works of the Lord. Now they regard their own work. They regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them. Now, is that just? Absolutely. Is that right? Absolutely. And he will not build them up. He'll tear them down. And he will destroy the wicked. Draw me not away with the wicked. I don't want what I deserve. Do you? I want mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. You remember Psalm 51? According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my sin. Notice the description here of the wicked unbeliever, workers of iniquity that masquerade as doing works unto the Lord. And again, I reference that scripture in Matthew 7 where those Pharisees said to the Lord, Lord, we've done these many wonderful works in your name. Look what we've done in your name. And he said, it's nothing but iniquity. I don't know you. I don't recognize you. I don't recognize the works you've done. Away with it. It's iniquity. They speak peace, he says there, to their neighbors. They proclaim peace, peace with God upon the ground of their doing, upon the ground of their work. Not seeking peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't propose terms of peace. We declare peace has been made through the blood of Christ between God and his people. The false prophet in Jeremiah's day and in our day, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace made. How many times do religious people say, make your peace with God? Or someone will say, well, I've made peace with God. A man who says that is ignorant of God. Because you cannot make peace with God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to die to reconcile us unto God. He said their hearts are full of mischief, evil. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our Lord said to those Pharisees, they honor me with their lips and their mouth, but their heart, and that's the problem, their heart's far from me. They regard not the works of the Lord. See verse 5. They regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hand. He shall destroy them and not build them up. They regard not the works of the Lord or the operation of his hand. Now, recently we studied Psalm 111, remember? Psalm 111. And that Psalm 111 talks all about the works of the Lord, doesn't it? In Psalm 111 it says, His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He makes us to remember his wonderful works. Honor the law of God for us. Magnify the law of God for us. Put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. But those here, they regard not the works of the Lord. The unbelieving have no regard for the true and living God. No regard for his sovereign works of providence. No regard for the sovereign work of salvation. They actually think that salvation depends upon them. They say God done all he can do. And now the rest is up to you. That's not so. Salvation is what the Lord has done for us, not what we do for him. Romans 9 plainly said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. What do we study else? That verse over there in Titus chapter 3. Verse 5, I think it is. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So salvation is not by works. Not ours, but his. They regard not the work of his hand. Now think how wonderful his works are that he has done for us. To regard not the works of the Lord, how wicked is that? To go about to establish the righteousness of your own and not submitting yourselves unto the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But to go about to establish the righteousness of your own. And people who do that, they think they're morally pure. I think we're doing the Big Ten. We live under the Ten Commandments. We're doing the Big Ten. You know what the law of God says? Tell me. He said, you that would be under the law. Do you hear what the law says? The law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. To infringe in one little jot or tittle of that law. And there's not just the Big Ten, there's the big 700 rules and laws. To infringe in one point of the law is to be guilty of all the law of God. That's why the gospel declared, by the works of the law shall no man be justified. They regard not the work of his hand. How pitiful is that? Judgment is absolutely certain for those who go about to establish their own morality, their own righteousness, thinking that they're good enough to satisfy God. You know, the question comes back, how good do you have to be to enter into God's presence? How good do you have to be? As good as God? As righteous as God? As holy as God? Well, preacher, that's impossible. You remember over here just a couple pages, Psalm 24, we'll probably look at that maybe in a few weeks. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath pure hands and he that hath a clean heart and pure hands, who hath never lifted up his soul to vanity. Well, that just slammed the door on me. That slammed the door on every other sinner. We can only ascend into the hill of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. They have no regard for the works of the Lord. He shall destroy them. He will not build them up. Vengeance does belong unto the Lord. He will deal with them in due time. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. He said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Thank God he delivered us from the pit by his grace. Now, in closing, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. We bless the Lord, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And he says here, verse 7, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. My heart trusts in him. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. And I'm helped. I'm helped by trusting the Lord. No one else can help. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I'll praise him. The Lord is their strength, the strength of their salvation. He is the saving strength of His anointed. His anointed is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the anointed prophet, priest, and king. And then He says, I love these four things here. Save thy people. Bless thy people. Bless your inheritance. For heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Feed them and rule them and lift them up forever and ever. Lift them up forever and ever. Our hope we have in Him is a good hope through grace. A good hope through grace. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. Look right across the page, Psalm 27, verse 1. You see it right across the page there? Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light. He's my strength. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength. Although we are weak, frail, sinful creatures, Christ is the strength of all our salvation. He is the true vine, and we are blessed in Him. Christ is our shield. We take the shield of faith. He is our protection. He is our defense from enemies seen and unseen, foreign and domestic. He is our shield. He's our protection. My heart trusts in Him. This is the evidence of being born again. This is the evidence of having true faith, is trusting Him. I trust Him, as it says there, my heart trusted Him. Now, when Scripture talks about our heart, we often think about, you know, with my heart. Not with my head, but with my heart. But when we read that in the Scripture, it's talking about our whole being. Our mind, our will, our thoughts, our affections, who we really are, our whole person. Everything in us, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says, I'm helped. I'm helped by trusting Him. I'm hindered greatly by trusting me. There's no help. There's no help in me. Or any other. There's help in Him. God is our refuge and strength of every present help in trouble. My heart is trusting Him. That's evidence of a new heart, of a believing heart. And the fruit of trusting Him is I'm helped. The Lord is our helper. That's our confession. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Therefore, I love that word, therefore. Therefore, my heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. My heart greatly rejoices. The Apostle Paul, remember what he says? Where the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have, what is that? No confidence in the flesh. You thought I forgot, didn't you? No confidence in the flesh. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And with my song, I'll praise Him. Verse 8, the Lord is the strength of their salvation, the saving strength of His anointed. The Lord Jesus Christ is anointed in all of His office, as prophet, priest, and king. Verse 9. Save thy people. Well, that's exactly what Christ did. Call His name Jesus. Why? He is what He's called. Savior. Call His name Jesus. That means Savior. He is what He's called. What did He do? He saved His people from their sin. Sins and sin. Sin and sin. What we do and what we are. The noun and the verb. What we do and what we are. Save thy people. He did. Christ saved us with His blood. Justified us. And then blessed them. We are the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His people given unto Him. In that eternal covenant of grace. Feed them. He feeds us with a word of life, the word of truth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The green pastures of his word. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's Psalm 23. Save thy people. Bless thine inheritance. If you saved your bulletin on Sunday, you can go to your back page on the bulletin and these four things are written there. Save thy people. Bless thine inheritance. Feed them or rule them. He is our ruler. He is our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd. And then lift them up. We sing that song from Sinking Sand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Praise his name. He lifted me. He lifted me. Lift them up forever. And that's what salvation. He saved us. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. With an everlasting salvation. Remember he said about his sheep. They hear him. They follow him. He loves them. And he gives them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Never perish.